Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
You're listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Scumbags!
Let's rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Level 3 has begun. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci.
All right, it was a wild game tonight in the district. And good news, bad news. I hate laying 3. I hate laying 3.5. I prefer teasers and I prefer the money lines or I prefer the underdogs. Not a big favorite bettor. I always get burnt when I bet on favorites. But our teaser is alive. Daniel Jones deserves better. Daniel Jones, this is unbelievable, because Daniel Jones played great tonight, but Daniel Jones has now lost all 6 of his primetime starts in the National Football League. No quarterback since 1950 has started their career with 7 straight losses in prime time. The Giants' next primetime game is against the Kansas City Chiefs on November the 1st, and oh yeah, it's on the road. So, in other words, Daniel Jones is about to set a record, as there's no way in hell the New York Giants are going to beat the Kansas City Chiefs on the road. Yeah, wild football game. But how about this? Daniel Jones has more rushing yards, had more rushing yards tonight than Eli Manning had ever had in one season. That's crazy. Daniel Jones rushed for more yards tonight than Eli Manning ever did in an entire season with the New York Football Giants. So it was a wild game, but hey, let's not live in the past. We're going to break down the games that are coming up. We've got more college football talk. It's tough, man. We bounce around. We try to cover both college football and NFL football. So we talked a lot about this game. Tomorrow night, we'll have more NFL. We'll go over every game in the National Football League tomorrow. But Brent Beard's going to join us in a couple of minutes. We're going to talk college football with Brent Beard. And I like the college card this week. My college card is starting to come together right now. Let me blast through some of the games that I'm looking at. And I have noticed, though, guys, that there are some trendy picks. The trendiest pick of the college football card that I've noticed is Michigan State plus the points. Michigan State plus the points in Miami and South Beach against the Miami Hurricanes. Yet I get it. And you remember, I told you guys, I put a nickel down on the Miami Hurricanes to go under 9.5 wins. So I'm hoping that they lose the game outright, even though it bothers me to be pulling for Michigan State. As far as Saturday's card is concerned, let's get started at noon Eastern. I like Cincinnati. You can get it on the money line right now, but $1.65. I'd rather lay 165 than 3.5 is on the point spread. But I do think Cincinnati's going to beat Indiana. I like Cincinnati to beat Indiana. I am going to get suckered into taking the Michigan State Spartans plus the 6 against the Miami Hurricanes. I don't think the Canes are that good. Oklahoma, Nebraska is an early game. And shout out to Lisa. Stay out of trouble, Lisa. Lisa's getting kicked off the Fox stage trying to take pics. Yeah, let her take a picture. What's the problem? Oklahoma haven't been great to start the year. And I'm sure Spencer Rattler is starting to see, you know, about the Heisman stuff and Bryce Young hype and Carson Strong being the top pick of the draft. I think Oklahoma are going to destroy Nebraska. We're laying the points.
It's level 3. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. We're kicking it on Sirius XM Satellite Radio. We're kicking it on the mighty 1090. And, of course, shout out to everybody in the sports byline world in the Bay Area, Sports Map in Texas, Armed Forces Radio Network. We got people tuning in all over the world. We're global, baby. And we're talking college football in a couple of minutes. Brent Beard's going to step up and in. Listen, we could talk about what happened tonight. We know what happened tonight. Don't tell me what's going to happen. Tell me what's, we want to know what's going to happen, not what already happened.
So games that I like, and I am going to be pulling the trigger. I like the Cincinnati Bearcats to beat Indiana. I'm not really in love with laying the 4 points on the road, 3.5. You got to win by 4. I'd rather take the money line at minus 165. But I do think Cincinnati are going to win that game, even though I do believe there is a distraction with their head coach and whether he's going to go to USC or not. Scroll down a little bit. We got a bunch of new and early action. 9 o'clock for the West Coasters. Michigan State gets 6 against Miami. I've never been a Manny Diaz guy. I've told you guys that for years. De'Aaron King's a decent quarterback, but they're an undisciplined team. They got a lot of talent. Just doesn't come together. Sort of, you know. Michigan State aren't great, but they're going to win the battle in the trenches, and I think they can hang in this football game. Drew Martin Betts joined us earlier on Game Time Decisions tonight, right on these networks. I'm on every day at 6 o'clock Eastern, and he lives in Florida and knows the market well. I've been there, know it well. And great point was brought up. The fact, listen, if this game was on a Saturday night and it was against the Gators, it's against the Noles, it's against Clemson, it's against Notre Dame, then it's a madhouse and the kids are all hammered and it's a crazy, you know. We saw it last week against App State when the cat fell from the rafters, right? That was a crazy stuff. We played that video on the TV show. You know, it was half empty, right? Miami's not a great sports town. It just isn't. It's a great city, cool city and stuff, but there's so many things to do. Like, which did, dude, the Miami Heat didn't sell out games when they were winning titles and they had LeBron James, all right? The Miami Dolphins are the most popular team in the city and they don't sell out. So, Michigan State are going to have a lot of fans there. Miami just don't really have a home field advantage. So, even though I'm a Michigan Wolverine fan and it pains me to say this, give me the Michigan State Spartans plus the points. All right, we'll talk some SEC football on the other side. Brent Beards is going to step up and in from Jacksonville, Florida. Late night anger management class, bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
The Late Night Anger Management Class continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. We're breaking it down on Sirius XM Channel 204, Sports Grid Radio Networks. Let's talk some college football. Let's bring in a man that we love talking college football with, Brent Beard. Steps up and in and joins us. Brent, it's always a pleasure, sir. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us.
Dave, great to be with you. Another big weekend of college football coming up.
Every weekend's a big weekend of college of football, and you're right. Alabama and Florida's a big-time game. But before we get into the games, there's going to be a lot of coaches, including Nick Saban, who are going to be coaching with a heavy heart this weekend as Trevor Mowat passed away, a motivational mental strength conditioning coach. I don't know like what his exact title would have been, but whatever his title was, he had a pretty big impact on a lot of people, including myself, who I had an opportunity to meet him. I had him in studio. I have an autographed copy of his book, but worked incredibly closely with Nick Saban and the Alabama Crimson Tide program. He was best friends with Russell Wilson. And I'm finding out so many other coaches. Coach Loxley, Maryland, devastated. I understand he had a relationship with Kirby Smart. He was working with JT Daniels. New York Met pitcher Marcus Stroman. I could go on. EJ Manuel is tweeting his devastation about this. Not a man that the household knows, but a man that people in the football world knew, Brent.
Well, he was considered a mental conditioning consultant, was more of his title. Alabama worked with Florida State. You mentioned Georgia. And probably, Dave, it won't surprise you that he had a very quiet battle with cancer, kept it under wraps. 48 years old, Gabe. Can you believe that? But so much that he invested, worked 8 seasons with Alabama. Also, Mario Cristobal now at Oregon, one of the guys who has talked about him during this time. So just a real loss, isn't it, Gabe? Over look, I know there are rivalries and so forth, but this guy was special, and so sad to see him go.
And it's, you know, as you mentioned, 48, and obviously, you know, he had a great life, and there's tragedy all around us, but it just strikes me that somebody that enjoyed and loved life as much as he did, right? That's just the tragedy to me about this. But I guess all we can really do for his memory, Brent, really is carry on. And he just preached positivity, guys. And, you know, just... You know, something that I took away, you know, just for the power of negativity versus positivity, a negative thought is 4 to 7 times more powerful than a positive thought is. Sort of like, you know, like with coaches, Brent, right? You know, like Bobby Knight said, I don't remember the wins, really. I remember the losses, right? I don't know. I remember the losses more than the wins. But as Trevor stated, I didn't realize this. If you say a negative thought out loud, it's 400 times stronger. And it really is, and it sounds simple, guys, about all the power of positivity, but I encourage you to read his book, look at some of his videos, and you'll understand why people as smart and as disciplined as Coach Saban wanted him around the program.
I think the amazing thing with him, too, is he worked outside of sports, actually with military leaders. I know that doesn't surprise you, but being a leader.
He actually worked with the Navy SEALs. Yeah, he worked with the Navy SEALs. And not like these guys need any motivational help, right?
Probably not. But if they did, he certainly gave it to them during that time. And listen, I think to sum this up with what he did with Nick Saban in Alabama, he gave them the mindset that they have got today in this program, that we're competing not against the opponent, but we're competing against each other. And what we think mentally, because a lot of these teams are the same physically, right? The teams that have got the better mental approach to the game often in this day and age are able to win. That's a part of who he was and what he aspired to be.
Coach Saban is always all business, but do you strike that he's even more so this year with his statements before the Mercer game? It seems like, you know, it just seems to be a different edge and intensity about Alabama this year, and we've got a big time football game against another great coach in Dan Mullen. Dan Mullen's beaten a lot of people. The one thing that Dan Mullen has not accomplished in his illustrious college football career is beat Nick Saban, 0-10, Brent. I don't need to tell you, but I'm telling the listeners.
Well, that's right, and I will be at the game, so I'm excited about being able to cover it. It's a huge game for both of these teams. And again, I think what we don't know, Gabe, makes this game so intriguing. What about Anthony Richardson, the backup quarterback, who a lot of Gator fans wish he was starting? We don't know how much he's going to be able to play. Will Anderson from Alabama, considered maybe the best defensive player in the SEC, hyperextended knee, is he going to play too? So there's a lot we know, but Gabe, the mystery with this game about who may or may not play adds a lot of intrigue to it.
So what's your opinion on the Florida Gator quarterback situation? It's a tough spot to be in if you're Emory Jones right now. Everybody's calling for Richardson, and oh yeah, you're playing Alabama. So it's not as if you've got a chance to pad your stats and tell people to back off.
The key to this game, frankly, to me, is who can run and stop the run. But as far as Emory Jones, I think will start. He is Dan Mullen's first quarterback recruit. Emory Jones told Mullen, I want to be your quarterback. And I think Dan Mullen is going to give him every chance to succeed. Now, what Mullen said this week, and this is interesting, Gabe, he said, even on some of the outstanding plays that Anthony Richardson made, what the fans don't understand is he missed the read. he actually didn't get the right play, but he was so athletic, he still made it able to work.
And I remember, and I'm a Buffalo Bill fan, and you'll know this from the Maryland Terrapins, of course. You know, Frank Reich led the biggest college comeback in football history and then the biggest comeback in pro football history. And there were times, as great as Jim Kelly was, let's see what Frank can do, right? Look at what Frank did. Let's see what Frank can do. And then Frank got in there and, you know, he wasn't quite the same. And Frank had a quip. And he basically said, well, the backup quarterback's always the most popular guy in town until he's the starting quarterback. And you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, no question. And but Gabe, the key for this game, I still say for Florida, they've got both these teams have two of the best running back rooms in the SEC. So that's what makes them so dangerous.
But can Florida run the ball against this defense, right? They've had a pretty soft schedule to start the season.
They have. There's no doubt. Florida just has not faced a team like Alabama. And the Alabama beat writers have told us now for weeks, Gabe, this may be the best Alabama defense since 2016. And they've got a lot of youth in it, a lot of athleticism. But their front seven, especially these linebackers, if Will Anders can play, maybe the best in the league.
And I mentioned, guys, there seems to be a different intensity about Coach Saban. And this is a different Florida team. They lost a lot of talent from last year. But I think that Coach Saban is going to build on that. And I don't think he's happy they gave up 46 points last year. So I think you're going to get the best Alabama Crimson Tide team rolling in to Gainesville. All right, we're going to talk more SEC football on the other side. The Late Night Anger Management Class continues. Bring it.
Dispensing little pearls of sports. Relax.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Race Late Night continues. I am Gabe Morenzi. We're talking college football with First Coast News and the Heisman Trophy voter, Brent Beard. A lot of stuff to get to. So we talked about Alabama and Florida. Really looking forward to this football game. Also looking forward to Auburn and the Penn State Nittany Lions. A lot of people thought that Penn State was going to be one of the most improved teams this year. Of course, they won their final four games of the year last year. This is a big time Big Ten SEC matchup. And there's also been some James Franklin, whispers and rumors about USC potentially reaching out to him. What's your opinion on this football game? And a second question, are you buying the hype? I don't really see Franklin. I don't really know why Franklin's name is coming up so much with USC, but you're a smarter man than I am. So talk to me about the game, and then let's get into the USC coaching search for a little bit. What's your take on the football game?
Well, it's has the anticipation of being a really tremendous football game. Game day is going to be there. This is a whiteout at Penn State. And anyone who's been at Penn State during a whiteout really knows how special that can be. Auburn, Gabe, has not played anybody. I mean, with Akron and Alabama State, you and I and whoever's in the studio could get together and beat Akron and Alabama State.
Coach. I'm ready to go.
That's right.
You look at Penn State. They played Wisconsin, and they played a pretty scrappy Ball State team with a lot of talent.
Agreed. Now, again, it doesn't mean Auburn can't win because Auburn has Bo Nix, who is he's a seasoned veteran quarterback, doesn't play real well on the road. and they've worked with him. Brian Harsin has very closely. He has improved. Tank Bigsby is one of the better running backs in the league. Jarquez Hunter has really emerged at 147 yards last week. And the Auburn defense, I think, so far has played well. But they'll get their biggest test against Penn State. Noah Kane, Sean Clifford in that backfield. Penn State may be their best team, we could argue, Gabe, in a little bit over the last few years. What you said is right. Beat a good Wisconsin team. It wasn't pretty, but they still won the game. Ball State is probably better than we realize. I think they're trying, and it's interesting that James Franklin earlier today really didn't dodge the Southern Cal questions all that much.
What do you read between – you're good at reading between the lines, and that's so what does it mean when he says we're handling those questions internally? What does that mean? I don't even know. What does that mean?
I think it's one of those things to where, I mean, most coaches like Urban Meyer here with the Jaguars said, nope, that's just not going to happen. I wonder if that is. I wonder if his agent told him to say that just to kind of keep the door open. I mean, I'm with you. I was a bit surprised about that. That doesn't give a lot of confidence to your fan base at this point, but they've got to be looking at a lot of different guys and maybe some NFL assistants too. But again, a tremendous opportunity for both of these teams. And I'll say this, even though they haven't played anybody, Auburn's a much more physical team, Gabe, than they were under Gus Malzahn, who has gone to Central Florida.
So they're changing their identity. Is that a thing? Auburn, they want to be nastier. They want to be a nasty team now.
They were considered more of a finesse team with Gus, and trying to be some gimmicks as far as the offense is concerned. And look, when you've got a guy like Tank Bigsby pitching the ball and letting him run behind the offensive line, that's improved too. So I'll be very curious, Gabe, if this physical approach to football, how much that will help Auburn Saturday.
Who do you like in that game? Who do you think wins, Penn State or Auburn?
I think Penn State wins. I think Penn State's defense is a bit better. And look, I think who you play makes a difference, don't you? I think they play better teams, and they're more game-tested right now than Auburn is.
Brett Beard with us. So speaking of running the football, keep it simple, stupid, right? And I think we're going to see a time in the NFL when it gets back to that as well. I mean, Coach Flores has spoken at a football convention. He brought that up in which he said you know, everyone's drafting all these fast guys, smaller linebackers. Eventually, a team's going to figure it out and just bulk up and run the ball down everyone's throat and run right. Everyone over. And I think Arkansas, wow, like what a win last week. Is that if you're a Texas Longhorn booster, if you're a fan, are you thinking, oh boy, is this what we're in store for going into the SEC in the future? Man, they were fired up last week. But I love what the staff said in Fayetteville. They said, well, you know, we got to keep this rolling. Yeah, it was a big win, but if you don't follow it up, it doesn't mean anything. But are you buying into what they're doing there at Arkansas?
Yeah, I am. Now, they've got Georgia Southern this week, and they'll win that game. But, Gabe, think about this. They play Texas A&M next week, and that is always a tremendous rivalry. It will be this year. K.J. Jefferson at quarterback has played well, 14 of 19 against Texas. Traylon Smith at running back is close to 100 yards. Gabe, they ran for 333 yards on Texas. When you run for that many yards on anybody, you're going to win the game. But here's the thing that caught my eye. They're better defensively. Get this. Arkansas has only allowed one run, Gabe, of 10-plus yards in two games against Rice and Texas. So they've stopped the run. They averaged 7 yards against Texas. I'm curious if you're as impressed with Sam Pittman as I have been so far, not only last year, but certainly this year.
Looks like they finally got their guy. It does. And yes. You know what's amazing to me, as you mentioned, you know, when you run the ball like that, they were able to mix in some play action and guys were wide open down the field. And listen, guys, we know Texas came into this game with one of the best people, some people say best running back in the country. Yes. You know, and that was the one thing. Yeah, they have a young quarterback, but we know that Texas can run the ball. All right, man, we're having so much fun talking college football with you, Brent. I'm losing track of time here. But before we get you out of here, what do you make of the USC job? It seems like Luke Fickell makes a lot of sense in a way, but explain to everybody tuning in right now, how important is it to have connections in the area? I mean, you're an Ohio guy, and, you know, I think the casual fan might wonder, well, what difference does it make? You're a coach, you move to a new city. No, like when it's college football, it's all about relationships with the local high school coaches, and you have to know the local landscape. Now, I know there's sort of guides and, you know, things are sort of built in Los Angeles there with the USC Trojans with programs. But what do you make of this? Because it is still a pretty big time job, Brent. How do you think this is going to play out? Eric Bieniemy, Luke Fickell, James Franklin. How do you think this plays out?
Well, Dan Mullen's name has been mentioned for this job too, but they're looking for an elite recruiter. And frankly, as good a coach as Mullen is, Gator people will tell you that they have not been an elite coaching staff so far. Let me dovetail something you said a minute ago. Bryce Young from Alabama came from California. They are losing way too many, particularly these quarterbacks in that Los Angeles area, to other schools.
Yeah, C.J. Stroud's from California, too, isn't he?
Right.
Ohio State quarterback.
Right.
Good point. You're right.
So listen, Gabe, whoever they hire as coach, don't doubt for a minute that this guy is going to be somebody that is going to be asked to keep these elite quarterbacks at home. And that is something that has been a real problem. You're right. It's a plum job. It always has been. We saw what Pete Carroll did with it. And look, my guess with this is whoever's hired for this job, they'll put out some feelers. Well, we get all that. But we may be very surprised who they hire come November, early December.
Brent, it's always a pleasure talking college football with you. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us. Enjoy the games this weekend.
Can't wait. Game, always a pleasure. Take care.
Man, I'm getting fired up. What a weekend of college football. What a Saturday we have. Got all these games early. There's a full slate of early action. We talked about the early action here. 12 o'clock Eastern. Some cool stuff. Michigan State versus Miami, Florida. We like Michigan State plus the points. Northern Illinois against my Michigan Wolverines. Michigan laying 26.5. It's a lot, but Harbaugh senses blood. He likes the way the team is playing. And Michigan love beating the crap out of MAC teams. So we're going to lay the 26.5 with Michigan. Cincinnati and Indiana is an early game at 12 Eastern. Great stuff, man. Great early card. Give me the Bearcats to win that game. We've got Oklahoma and Nebraska is an early game. I like Oklahoma to absolutely kill them. Virginia Tech and West Virginia is at noon. Holy crap. All right, on the other side, we're going to get into... We'll get into Alabama. I want to talk about Alabama and the point spread and the total a little bit there. I don't want to say I figured Alabama out, but I figured Alabama out. But, man, it's a great early card. And then I'm looking at the 3:30 Eastern, man. We got USC with the new coach. We got Alabama and Florida at 3:30. We got Ohio State looking to bounce back at 3:30. Full slate of football. Let's do this thing. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
I'm a rageaholic. I just can't live without rageahol.
Oh, yeah, the Late Night Anger Management class continues. Man, we've been on a roll this week. This week has just sped by. It's the quickest 180 minutes in sports talk radio, but it's been the quickest week in sports talk radio as well. I guess because football is back, and it's great to have it back. But, man, the NBA is coming, guys. The NHL is coming. College basketball is coming. And eventually we'll have a big UFC card coming as well. All right, so, yes, we do talk MMA on this show, but you got to give me something I can use. All right, like David Lee Roth said, give me something I can write on. Seeing Eddie Van Halen's name trending everywhere. Is it the year anniversary? It must be, huh? Is it the year anniversary of Eddie Van Halen? Has it been a year already that's passed? And, yeah, rest in peace to the great Eddie Van Halen, the best to do it. Let's just be real. At least in the modern era, you got Jimi Hendrix. But saw a great quote from Steve Vai, who's one of my favorite guitarists. I'm a big Eddie Van Halen fan, too, but I'm also a massive Steve Vai fan. And Steve Vai was talking about how I saw on Twitter, it was an interview, I think it was with Guitar World or whatnot, but and he said that once Eddie Van Halen played his gear. So, like, Eddie Van Halen just grabbed Steve Vai's guitar and played with Steve Vai's rack, amp, and sound and everything. And you figure, right? Like, anyone that plays, like, if you just got on stage and you were lucky enough and it was like, all right, Kirk Hammett of Metallica said, here, play my guitar with my amp and the sound of Metallica, you figure it would sound sort of like he would, right? It's sort of a sound that they have. And it was interesting that Steve Vai said that Eddie Van Halen played the exact same, like, his gear. And he goes, yeah, it sounded like Eddie Van Halen. And, like, Steve Vai said, that's unbelievable. He goes, you know, he still sounded like Eddie Van Halen, even playing with my sound. Which is, like, really, like, you know, just says something. So rest in peace, Eddie. I think I might listen to a little Van Halen a little bit later on. Said, if I listen to Van Halen after the show tonight, I'm going to be up all night. He's going to be all fired up. Maybe I'll save it for Friday night as we get ready for all this college football. So, yeah, great time of the year. Can't wait to start talking basketball. And just for the record, I did put a play in last night. I've been into this future stuff, and I played a million college football futures and NFL win total futures and divisions and all that. But the NBA is coming, and it's funny because normally I used to be that guy in the past who would say, oh, you're crazy, you're playing the future, it's even money, they're hanging on to your money for 6 months, and they're making money off the interest as it sits there, and I'm not doing this. And the NBA season doesn't start still for, it's what, basically about a month away, a little more than a month away, it starts on the 20th, I couldn't wait. I really do sincerely believe that the number is wrong with the Toronto Raptors season win total. And the Toronto Raptors season win total is 36.5. I think it's wrong. And I didn't want to miss out on it. And it pops up and like, oh, there it is. It's 38.5. I still think they're going to go over that number. But I think we're getting great value with this. So I couldn't wait. I dropped a nickel on it, but I want to put more. And you can get the Raptors to make the playoffs at plus 275. Raptors to make the playoffs at plus 275. We didn't even get to the news. Oh, John Wall wants to not playing for Houston anymore. I don't know what the deal with the Rockets is, and no one wants to play for them, and they just get these guys. They trade everybody, and then they get the guy that's like, yeah, we've decided it's better off that you don't play. And just, listen, nobody cares. I don't know what if I care less about John Wall or Ben Simmons. And in fact, maybe you guys should just trade each other, right? Nobody, you keep on seeing these reports now the NBA season starting. Hey, Philly, you're stuck with Ben Simmons' sorry ass. You guys are delusional. You're asking for multi-picks and multiple players for a guy that sucks. And newsflash, Philly, you're not going to get multiple first-round picks and current NBA All-Stars in exchange for a guy that I'm a better three-point shooter than. It's not going to happen. Right, like I thought that the play calling sucked tonight in the football game, but man, I can't wait to start talking NBA basketball. But Yeah, the Toronto Raptors win total 36.5. I think, you know, people think because, you know, they sucked last year. They played in Tampa last year. They didn't play a single home game, and they haven't played a home game in 2 years, jackasses. Oh, that didn't affect them at all, right? 36.5, it's a gift. I'm telling you right now. Any responsible person, we like to, you know, listen, we like to practice responsible gaming, and if you have a problem, call Gamblers Anonymous. But we're gonna practice responsible gaming, and I think the best advice I can give you is take all the money that you have that you can afford to lose and bet it on the Toronto Raptors to go over 36.5. Like, what's your dream? You know, so Matthias, what would you buy? You want to buy a boat? You want a speedboat? You want one of those fancy skateboards? You don't have to do anything. You just hit that button. I see all the kids have those nowadays.
A yacht would be nice. I got nothing against a yacht. A beautiful yacht to sail me all around the world.
No.
Sounds like my type of thing.
I can't get you a yacht, bro. I said a boat, not a yacht.
No.
Yacht.
I got greedy.
No, because, yeah, well, how much? No, I'm basically saying, you want a new car at $5,000? How much how much you want to make? That's one of these deals here. That's what the Raptors. If you want to make $5,000, you want to make $10,000, you want a down payment, I'm telling you guys right now, the Raptors are as solid of an investment as there is. I really like this. I really do. And I'm going to keep loading up on it. We'll see if it moves. I saw this, and it popped up in Vegas, one of the sports books in Vegas. I think it was Caesars. They were the first ones. They posted they posted NBA win totals about 3-4 weeks ago. And I was basically like, all right, let's see the other books start to post them first. And I was like, man, 36.5 for the Raptors, but I don't have access to Caesars. So I'm like, holy crap. And then the second that I had access to get it in at 36.5, I did. Right? I'm like, all right, I'm not waiting. And it's been flying under the radar. The Raptors are not a public team. But SI.com, I think it was. I think it was. It was Sports Illustrated, SI.com. I saw they had an article up yesterday, NBA season totals, and NBA is coming, and here's our predictions. And the Raptors was their best bet. They said season win totals, best bet, Raptors, over 36.5, free money. And I'm like, oh, God. And I saw that last night, and I was like, oh, no, you don't. So I put the first 500 in. I wish I would have won tonight. I would have done it again. That's the whole thing. I'm not betting here to, like, cash out and stuff. I'm betting to try to roll this stuff over and make real money. And I'm upset that I couldn't roll it over. I don't know. I'll make a decision again tonight. I'm going to play this. I'm going to hammer this, though. The Raptors are going to sail over 36.5 wins. And another thing is, too, credit to thank you, Mr. Silver. The schedule is very favorable for the Raptors. It's like the NBA knows that the Raptors got the short end of the stick. They were the only team in the league during the pandemic that couldn't play at home. So the Raptors, like, I think 7 of their first 9 games are at home. Their road trips are very kind. Like, the Raptors' schedule is very team-friendly. And there's, without a doubt, the NBA sort of said, listen, these guys got screwed hard last year, so... I mean, listen, they still have to play 41 road games, right? But I'm just stating, the way the schedule lines up, I got no complaints. You don't hear me complaining about it. And you look at the Raptors lineup, and they're going to be a load to deal with. All right? They're going to be a load to deal with. Fred VanVleet's a badass. Great defensive player. And, yeah, you're going to see he's going to have a better year than he did last year. Pascal Siakam, oh, he sucks. He had a terrible year. I'd like to have a terrible year in the NBA and score 21.7 points a game and have seven rebounds and 5 assists a night. If that's terrible, sign me up for terrible. He's going to be better this year even. Gary Trent's a good, nice outside shooter. Malachi Flynn is a good baller out of San Diego State for you Aztec fans. I like Malachi. You know, we'll see what happens with Goran Dragic, but... You know, you look at bringing in Scotty Barnes, you got Chris Boucher, you got Ken Birch, you got a lot of long-rangey, scrappy guys on this Raptor team, and don't buy into all this stuff. The Knicks had a decent year. They're all right, whatever. Even Atlanta, all this stuff. 36.5, hammer it. Hammer it! Get the hammer out. Hey, Bob Vila, pass me the hammer. Thank you, Bob. What happened to Bob Vilas? Did he pass away? We don't even see that guy around anymore. Speaking of hammering things, we're hammering Alabama. All right? We're hammering Alabama. It's 14.5, 59.5 in this game. And it started off with me saying, dare I figured Alabama out, but I have. And I've watched almost, listen, I've been watching Alabama games for years, every single game. And it was a great point. It was a great point. Julio said it. I've said it for years, too. This ain't Grandpa's SEC, man. The SEC is like the Big 12 or like arena football now. It's a track meet. If you don't score 48 points, it's not winning, right, in the SEC. The SEC is like the NFL, man. It's like it's always been the NFL model and, you know, modeled after the NFL. And it's sort of they mirror each other in a way. And, you know, the SEC is a pass-happy, high-scoring conference now. Look at Alabama. You think of Alabama. Yeah, they got a great defense. Like, Alabama's mad on offense if they only score, like, 45 points. They're like, yeah, we didn't execute. And I'll tell you what, this Bryce Young kid, he might be a millionaire already, but he's got the same killer instinct that Tua had at college, if not even more. Because I remember Tua was, like, amazing and stuff. And there was an interview with him. And he basically said he was mad at himself. He missed a couple of reads, and he was incomplete on a couple of passes. And he was judging himself that harshly. And Bryce Young is, like, even harder. Like, he's like, nah, I didn't play well. I could have done much better. It's like, dude, you threw for 5 touchdowns or whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, chill out. But he's just got that more. And I said this with Brent Beard. And the thing with, like, you can make money betting against Nick Saban in Alabama against non-conference teams that he has no beef with the assistant coach with, or the coach with. If it was one of his assistants, he won't run it up on you. If he's got no personal gripe, you're not in his way, he won't run it up on you. You know, like Saban didn't care about murdering Mercer. You know what I mean? He doesn't care. He doesn't like Florida. All right? Florida's a competitor. Florida's a competitor. Florida beaten him before. He's had seasons ruined because of these guys. Last year, they really nearly beat him, but they hung around and was, what, 52-46. That's going to motivate Saban. Not to mention that Coach Saban was very close with Trevor Moad, who we just talked about passing away. And he's very tight with the Alabama program. Alabama's going to be dialed in here. This Kyle Trask ain't there. Tony ain't there. This ain't the same offense. They got Emory Jones, who's on the ropes. Richardson's not going to be able to do anything. He's going to make mistakes against this team. Alabama's got the killer instinct. I'm all over Bama. I bet Alabama to win the national championship, and I'd like to bet on Bryce Young to win the Heisman as well, but it's only like plus 200 right now. But I'm laying the points with the Crimson Tide. Roll Tide. Game goes over the number, 59.5. I'm all about the chalk and the blue bloods this week. Oklahoma's going to murder and massacre Nebraska. All right? I believe that Ohio State is going to murder and not beat up, because I think Tulsa's scrappy, and Tulsa are tough kids. I'm going to give them that, but they're going to be in a tough spot. That game's going to go over the number, because Tulsa can score, and Ohio State can't stop anybody. Late Night Anger Management Class continues.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
From the ashes to take what you've got. All right, we're rolling. Man, I'm fired up for this college football. You know, a game that we didn't get to, actually, but I'm going to throw it out here for you guys. I think it's at 2 o'clock Eastern time, 11:05 Pacific, is Nevada at Kansas State. I believe Kansas State's quarterback is out. Not that it really matters all that much, but they've got, I'm pretty sure they got a raw quarterback starting, but Nevada are a damn good football team. And right now, there's money at stake for these kids, right, in these games. And Carson Strong is starting to evolve into the top pick in the National Football League draft. It's a big weekend this weekend for quarterbacks. Spencer Rattler hasn't had the best start to the season. He's a little shaky. Oklahoma haven't been great, but I think this is, you know, this they have an opponent now that they can focus on, and it's go time. You know what I mean? It's, you know, sort of like Alabama in week one was like, all right, we're focused on Miami. It's real. And I know, I think Oklahoma, this is going to be the first game where it's sort of like real. Like the kids will have goosebumps and butterflies before the game, like real type thing. It's just like historically, Oklahoma and Nebraska is such an historic rivalry. And quite frankly, Nebraska can't play with Oklahoma. And as Teddy Covers, who joined us earlier, if Oklahoma score early, that's the thing. Obviously, it's cliche to say, but like if Oklahoma come out and it's one of those boom, boomer sooner type deals right away, and it's 7-0, 14-0, it's going to get ugly. Right? Like Nebraska, they're going to have to make plays early in this football game or it's going to get away from them. And Oklahoma will run the score up. All right? They're not going to take the pedal off the metal. I think there's going to be a lot of that this weekend. So, man, in some intriguing games. We're going to break them down as much as we can tomorrow. And feel free to tweet me at Sports Rage. Tomorrow we'll take, all right, which games you want us to talk about. Maybe we'll open up the phone lines a bit tomorrow night. Big Man on Campus returns to the program on the Friday Night Freak Show. Tony Finn, Big Man on Campus, and more. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
We should come with a warning label.
Caution.
24-hour sports talk
may cause mild addiction.
Get on the grid. This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.